Well, I don't know if you guys want to be applauding me before I even say anything. So, but thank you, Pastor Kirby, for having me here, and thank you guys for showing up. I appreciate that. Pastor Kirby said, my name is Jesse Skidmore, and I'm part of the Ransom Residency Program. And today, I am here with my beautiful wife, Bethany, formerly Bethany Zebarth. And the exciting part about being here is that she was on the launch team for the church plant to plant Living Hope. So that was really cool. She was only 5 years old at the time, but I know that she was a really critical part of this launch. She was heavily involved with kids ministry. So, yeah. Anyways, she works really hard at keeping me in line now, and I'm really thankful that she's here with me today. Actually, even the shirt that I'm wearing today is all because of her. It's a gift. So if you like my shirt, the credit's all hers. She's given me a lot of shirts now, and I'm starting to wonder why she gives me so many shirts, especially every holiday and stuff. And I'm starting to think she really doesn't like my wardrobe very much, so she's trying to replace those old shirts that she doesn't like. But have you guys ever received a gift from somebody that you kind of realized was actually not really for you, it was kind of for them? Kind of like these shirts, I think. Only a couple days ago was Valentine's Day, as you all know, and national law says that we have to buy a gift to show our significant other that we love them and appreciate them, right? Well, I mean, it is a special day. National law doesn't say you have to do that, but a lot of people buy gifts for their significant other to show their appreciation for them and to show that they love them. The problem is that sometimes we can accidentally buy a gift for them that really is actually for us. Now, let me illustrate this with a scenario. Husband wakes up. It's February 14th. He realizes, oh no, it's Valentine's Day. I haven't gotten anything. So he drives to the mall, and he's walking back and forth in front of this storefront, trying to build up the courage to go inside. The store is Victoria's Secret, right? He finally picks up the courage, walks in, eyes fixed straight ahead, trying to be unaffected by anything else going on in there. Walks straight up to the register, and if he's smart, he'd say, I'd like to buy a gift card for my wife. If he's not smart, he'll try to pick something out himself. And guys, I haven't been around this very long, but let me give you a tip. Don't try and pick anything out for your wife. 9 times out of 10, it'll be the wrong size, and you won't be getting a thank you from her anytime soon. Actually, if you do this, your wife is really going to have to practice that eye rule of forgiving that Pastor Kirby talked about last week. So anyways, smart guy gets a gift card. After he pays, the cashier puts the card in a little pink bag, and he walks out of the store and immediately dumps the bag in the garbage, right? Puts the gift card in his pocket, doesn't want to be seen walking around with the pink bag in his hand. So later that day, the wife opens the gift, sees the gift card, and the husband says, Happy Valentine's Day. But in reality, we know that this gift really wasn't for the wife, right? It was for him. It was him investing in their quality time that was going to happen later on, right? So you might be thinking why I'm up here talking about getting a gift for someone else and the love-hate relationship that men sometimes have with Victoria's Secret. But there really is an important purpose, and I just needed you all to be focused in and hear me say it. Your salvation is not for you. Your salvation is not for you, or let me put it this way. Your being freed from the power of sin and death was not for you. Now, don't worry, I'm not saying that your salvation doesn't matter or that God doesn't love you. But what I'm saying is the reality of God's gift to you does not revolve around you. And this brings us to our next I rule for this series, and the I rule of serving. And if you have your Bibles with me, with you today, I would love it if you guys would open it up. I'm sure there's one near you. If you have it on your phone, that's good too. But it will be up on the screen, but there is something special about reading God's word for yourself right out of a physical Bible. So we're going to open up to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, it's probably 2/3 of the way through the Bible. It's in the New Testament. And that's where we're going to be starting today. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. It says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself." So this is our next I rule for relationships: serving. And to get the full picture of this rule, we're going to have to lay some groundwork about this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Galatia. Paul was an apostle, which meant he knew Jesus personally, and he wrote probably two-thirds of the New Testament of our Bible that we have today, and he's the most influential theologian aside from Jesus in history. So Paul is writing this letter to the church, and leading up to the passage that we just read, he is addressing the church and a handicap that the church is experiencing, a barrier that they're coming up against. And he spends the first four chapters of this letter reminding the Galatians what the true gospel is, the true good news of Jesus Christ. And this was the gospel that Paul planted the church with, but after he left, there were two kind of groups that emerged out of that. They had different schools of thought. They took Paul's teaching and went two different directions with it. And the first group was the Judaizers. Now you may have heard of these guys before. Paul was really angry at these guys. This group kind of tried to convince the church at Galatia that they needed to obey the law in addition to believing in Jesus. They said, "Oh, believing in Jesus is great. He came to save us. He's the Messiah. But in order to receive his gift, you also had to do these things that were in the law." But Paul knew that this was not the gospel. And he writes them and says that if we believe in and follow Jesus, we no longer have to try and earn our way, right? Jesus earned our righteousness for us. He paid the debt so that we don't have to be slaves to the law anymore. Earlier in Galatians, he wrote, "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law, and God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children." See, Jesus earned that righteousness for us, and it was not something that we could do. He freed us from slavery to the law. But the second group that came out of this and took Paul's teaching in a completely different direction was called the Libertines. Now, this group took Paul's teaching and took it to the extreme. They said, "Well, if Jesus paid for my sins, then I can do whatever I want, can't I? Freedom means being my own master, being slave to no one, doing whatever I want." Now, I'm kind of tempted to agree with them and be like, "Well, yeah, if I'm just me, if I'm my own master, that's freedom, right?" But there's a problem with that. And the problem is that you and I, by nature, are slaves. You, by nature, are a slave, and there is no escaping that. Since Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, our human natures have become slaves to the outside forces of the world. And left to our own devices, we would continue to be slaves to sin, slaves to our selfishness, slaves to our pride. Apart from God's grace, this is all we could ever amount to. And on our own, we can't avoid sin any more than we can avoid the law of gravity or keep the sun from rising, right? In Romans, Paul wrote, "We have already shown that all people, whether Jews or not Jews, Gentiles, are under the power of sin, all of them. And as the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one." Elsewhere in the Bible, the prophet Jeremiah wrote, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is?" So if we can't earn our way following the law, we're slaves there, and we can't follow our own hearts because they're wicked and we end up slave to them, we were not created to be our own masters. When we do whatever we want, we only end up enslaved again to our sinful nature. And in trying to exercise the freedom that God's gift gives us, we only end up being enslaved to something else. Look again at verse 13. It says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature." What good is the freedom to choose if you just choose to end up a slave again? God gives you the power to choose, but you have to actively choose to live according to Him. You have to actively choose to not enslave yourself to your sinful desires. And there's another problem with this. Sin doesn't just affect you. It's not just about you. It's not just about you and your relationship with God. When you sin, it has a ripple effect. It adds to the pain and the brokenness that everyone else experiences in this world. It damages the relationships between us, between you and your spouse, between you and your friends, between you and your neighbor, between you and a stranger. So Paul tells us to use our freedom to serve others, but what happens if in our freedom we're still slaves to our sin? Well, he kind of describes it in verse 15. He says, "But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another." Now, this kind of sounds more like a pack of wild animals fighting each other more than what humans do to each other, right? But all of us has kind of been the recipient of some of these kind of actions. Someone lying to you, spreading rumors about you, someone promising you something and letting you down, spitting hateful words at you like venom. Maybe it was a stranger. Maybe it was a loved one or your spouse. Or maybe it was someone in this church or another church. I don't know exactly what happened to you or any of those things, but I do know that all of us have at one time been the recipient of some of these kinds of actions, and we've also been the offenders. And another thing I know is that sin always breeds destruction. It never ends up in good. It always destroys. And Paul warns the Galatians that by enslaving themselves to their sinful nature, it could lead to their destruction. When church people are still slaves to their sin, the work of the church is at risk of being destroyed. A church full of people who say they follow Jesus but are still enslaved to their sin only produce bad fruit. Pain, strife, envy, infighting, it's only bad. And that isn't to say that Christians aren't allowed to sin. I am in that boat with you guys. But what I am saying is that sin is not the norm for us. It should not be the norm. Followers of Jesus should be characterized by our love, by the fruits of the Spirit. They're supposed to live according to God's rules for relationships, not by anger or frustration, not by critical spirits or arguments, gossiping or slander. That's the result of sin. That's the result of slavery. So if we are slaves to our sin or to the law, but we don't want to be anymore, right? That's the goal, is to be free. How do we avoid being slaves? How do we avoid destroying one another and tearing down our relationships? Well, the solution is choose slavery to the Spirit. In verse 16, Paul says, "Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." So if you want to be free, we must instead choose slavery to the Holy Spirit. Now, it kind of seems a little funny, right? The word slavery and Holy Spirit really doesn't seem like it mixes well, right? But it's true. Freedom is not answering to yourself alone or doing whatever you want. Freedom comes through serving the Spirit, being guided by the Spirit. Or let me say it another way. Freedom, or life to the full, the life that Jesus came to give you and you have the option to live into, means that you have to, it comes through servitude, comes through serving. But it's not speaking about freedom for our own sakes. You know, if we start thinking about freedom, when we start thinking about the benefits that it gives us, then we're already headed in the wrong direction. Freedom for ourselves is just slavery to ourselves again, and we end up in this cycle of trying to live for ourselves, and then we end up enslaved again. But instead, Paul is talking about the relational context between all of us. We're always connected through relationship. So our I rule this week for relationships is serving others. That's the rule. Your salvation, your being freed from the power of sin really wasn't for you. It was for others. If it was only for you, then you wouldn't be here anymore. You wouldn't have a purpose being together with the body of Christ and living in the place where you are doing the ministry. If this wasn't the case, then all of us would have been whisked away the moment we made a decision to follow Christ. That would have been it for us. That would have been the pinnacle, right? But given that you and I are still here, that means we have a purpose. Jesus still has work for us to do. We are to be living examples of how God's unfailing love has changed us and transformed us, freed us from the power of sin in order to serve others. And this is what leads to an abundant life. At the Ransom, I serve on one of our guest services teams, much like some of your volunteers here, and I love being a part of this team. Being one of the first smiling faces that people get to see driving into the parking lot or walking into the building is such a privilege, and I'm so honored to be a part of it. But recently, one of the men that I served on that team with passed away in a car accident in January. And he was a very big part of our team. His quiet smile and listening ears always put people at ease and made people feel so welcome when they walked into our church. And it was a tough loss for me and for many people in our church. But what happens in the wake of that loss will change my point of view on what it really means to serve one another in love. You see, this man and his wife were part of one of our community groups at our church. Two of their daughters were also in two other community groups in the church, and their third daughter was in a life group at Celebrate Community Church. Now, when his family first learned of his accident, their first call was not to the police. It was not to our lead pastor. It was not to our office. It was not to anyone in authority, but it was to their community group leaders. And their community group leaders immediately jumped into action. They got their groups together to pray. They made so many meals that they didn't have time to eat all of them. They made the phone calls that needed to be made to the church, to the funeral home, to all of those things, to take care of those details that happen in the wake of tragic losses like these. And although I would never wish this upon anyone, being able to see and be a part of a group of Jesus followers that really knew what it meant to serve one another in love is an incredible blessing and one that I will never forget. But the truth is, you guys don't have to wait for an accident like this to happen in order to serve one another in love, to serve your spouse in love, to serve your neighbor in love, to serve a stranger in love. You can begin right now to live this kind of life. You can be fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit and be free to love others as He wants you to. So my question for you guys this morning is this: how are you individually, you personally, choosing to use your freedom? I really want you guys to think on this question. How are you using your freedom? And this doesn't mean just like free time or your spare minutes of your day, but how are you using all of those minutes, all of the life that Jesus has given you? Is your freedom actually just becoming your master? Are you enslaved to your pride or your envy, your greed? Scripture says that if you have believed in Jesus, then you can be truly free. But the truth is, you can't be free unless you become a slave to the Holy Spirit, a servant of God, a servant of other people. You must actively choose this. It's not a passive choice. You can't walk around and say, I hope I'm enslaved to the Holy Spirit today. You have to actually choose it. You have to spend time with him in prayer. You have to spend time in his word, learning what it looked like for God's people to serve one another in love and what it looked like when they were slaves to their sin. You have to pray earnestly that God would help you be a servant. Help you be a servant to him and to others. And I know he is faithful, and he will help you with that. But you have to desire it for yourself. And it doesn't matter how young or old you are, you have a purpose here. There is someone waiting to be served in love, whether they are a believer or not. But by doing that, you will be an example. You will be a living example of what Jesus was like, what Jesus is like to these people. And you'll encourage them. They will feel loved. And perhaps they will know the same gift that you know, because you were willing to serve them in love. So let the Holy Spirit guide your life, and you will no longer be a slave to the law or a slave to your sin. But instead, you'll be a servant of God. Would you guys pray with me? Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for you. So thankful that we have an example of serving other people in love in you, that you came and you showed us exactly what it looked like to be in step with the Holy Spirit, to know you intimately, to pray, to know your scriptures, and to be a servant of God. And Lord, we confess together that we have not done this. We have not done this as you have asked us to do it. And we need your help. So Lord, would you help us? Would you come alongside of us and help us? Free us from the slavery of the law. Free us from the slavery to our own sinful nature. Please help us, and we will give you all the praise. Thank you so much that you are willing to be beside us, to guide us, and to give us this freedom. But help us to not think that it is freedom for ourselves, but freedom for the benefit of others. And regardless of what happens, we will give you glory, and we will worship you. And it's in your loving and freedom-giving name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.